on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Time On with Sam McClure.
For Holden, Colorado, LTZ. 3.99% finance rate available for ABN holders. T's and C's apply. And Master Builders Training Victoria. Short courses now available. Visit mdavtraining.com.au. RTO 3935.
7 minutes past six on this Tuesday evening, a bumper edition of Time On coming at you. We've got Megan Huthwaite, who is live at the AFL Tribunal. Of course, Robbie Gray. Can you believe Robbie Gray in Port Adelaide risking the $10,000 at the Tribunal? We've got Melbourne Victory vice-captain Lee Broxham ahead of arguably their biggest week of their season. Matt Stewart with the latest on the Kavanaugh-O'Brien cobalt situation, which came to a head today. But first, I want to start with news out of footy that the teams are in, and bear with me here, for Collingwood and GWS for Thursday night. Now, the headline's out of it. Pendlebury and Sidebottom both playing. Chris Mayne is in the side as well. There's no Wells, DeGoey, Treloar, Elliott, Howe, Greenwood or Moore. At GWS, Ryan Griffin's first game since round three. No Green, Lobb, Delidio, Scully, Hopper, Buntine or Adam Kennedy. It is fair to say it is an injury-stricken squad for both the Collingwood Footy Club and the GWS Footy Club. Speaking of the Pies, this pricked my ears today when I heard this from Adam Treloar.
What, I guess, hallmarks of the team's game have come out of playing against each other that might be a little bit different from last year?
Oh, I don't think it will change too much. I think, you know, last year, if you watch our footy, you know, what worked when we played well, and we did play well a lot, you know, we could match it against pretty much anyone. It's just when we didn't, we kind of struggled a bit. And, you know, I think it was them lapses in concentration throughout the game and, you know, sort of beating ourselves up. And, you know, if they got a run on, then we sort of, you know, heads down. You know, it was hard to get back into it. But I think when we played our good footy, you see that, you know, we beat a lot of the top sides, and I think our, you know, although you don't want to lose, I think our biggest losing margin last year would have been about 30 points. So, you know, to the guys' credit, we're always in the game. It's just consistently being there and you know, not dropping your heads when there's the opportunity to, and the game's in the balance to win the game. And I think you'll find us, you know, being much better in that regard this year. And but not changing too much because, you know, I think we worked really well last year, and I'm looking forward to a really attacking season.
Not changing too much, says Adam Treloar, coming from the side that finished 13th last season. It is the Collingwood AGM tonight. So it is the chance for Collingwood members to go down and ask the questions that they deserve or they think need to be answered. If you're a Collingwood member, in fact, if you're just a Collingwood fan, what's your first question? What is your only question? In fact, you know what? It is actually AGM season. It was Carlton's last night, Collingwood's tonight. There are plenty of sides across the country that have just had theirs or are about to have theirs. Let's just call it AGM season here on SEN's Time On. You get one question to ask your club, whether you're a member or not, but you only get one. Now, we as journalists pride ourselves on being able to ask questions. Our job really is to ask questions, but one of the key elements of asking questions is knowledge. And there's no better knowledge than a fan who follows their team through thick and thin. You guys have the best knowledge of your clubs. So you get one question. We've got some prizes to give away here. We've got double passes to the Melbourne Beer Fest at Katani Gardens this Saturday in St Kilda. You've got $50 vouchers to the Ranfurly Range to give away. 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116. You get one question at your club that you need answered. What is it? I'll give you some examples. Let's go over west to the West Coast Eagles. Let me ask this question. Was the recruitment of Sam Mitchell and Drew Petrie a bold throw at the stumps for a flag? And if it wasn't, what was it? Let's go to Essendon. Your midfield depth, I think everyone would largely agree, is the biggest hole on the list at the moment. So you go and recruit what? A halfback flanker, a half forward who's largely been injured and is also only wants to be in the midfield because that's where he feels he's best fitted, and an All-Australian forward who can sometimes pinch hit. Have you addressed the actual issue and the hole on your list, Essendon? What about North Melbourne? You say you've got all the money in the world. What lessons have you learnt from your past failings in free agency and trying to convince players to come over? Because you can't afford it to happen again. And what about the Saints? My big question, if I was a Saints fan, is, and I mean this seriously, what are you doing right now to convince Rory Sloane to join your club next year, because, oh dear, you need him. You need him badly. That has got a good nucleus, that St Kilda side, but you need star power, and Rory Sloane is the out-of-contract star power. 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116. The one question that if you were at your club's AGM, you would ask. Now, while the calls bank up, and there's already a few, let's go over to AFL House at the AFL Tribunal. We're joined by Megan Huthwaite, who has been covering the Tribunal for the SEN since longer than I can remember. She's one of the best at it. And Megan, are you as surprised as I am that we're at the Tribunal tonight?
I'm not, Sam. Given that the system has changed a bit this season, I think this will be the first of a few Tuesday night Tribunal sessions this year. And as you wrote on the H website this morning, Robbie Gray, in fact, is arguing that he didn't choose to bump, but was bracing for contact with Jeremy McGovern. So you were on the money there. That's what Port are going with tonight. We're about to hear evidence from Robbie shortly, but we have received the medical report from West Coast regarding Jeremy McGovern, and it's told us that he obviously didn't return to the ground after the incident. He is receiving ongoing treatment for that hit to the head, and it's unknown whether he'll miss any further training sessions at this stage.
Yeah, well, that part of it, Megan, doesn't sound good for Robbie Gray. Do you think he has a leg to stand on in him saying he didn't opt to bump? Because the vision shows him following through and actually passing a few steps past McGovern. So that, to me, would look a scratchy argument.
Yeah, I agree, Sam. We spoke on KB and the Doc a bit earlier about racing is more being in a stationary position where you turn and protect yourself. Yeah. And the vision certainly shows us that that's not what Gray did. So, no, I don't think it will hold up. And having sat through a lot of these tribunal cases around bumping, it hasn't been an argument that's been successful in the past. But I guess given that an extra week is not on the line for Robbie Gray, if he is to lose tonight and miss round one against Freo, it's the 10 grand that Port put up to argue or to challenge this case is what they'll lose. And that's what we'll see this year under the new setup.
All right, Megan, if we've got a verdict, or even if we haven't, we'll touch base with you in the next few minutes. Appreciate your time. Speak soon.
No worries. Thanks, Sam.
Megan Huthwaite there at the AFL Tribunal. Right, I asked the question off the top of the show and the calls are lining up. 9429 1116, you've got one question to ask your club at the annual general meeting. What is it? Shane is in Greenvale and he kicks us off on Time On. Welcome, Shane.
Hi, Sam. How are you going?
Good, thank you, mate.
Okay, well, the first question I would ask, and it's not personal towards Nathan Buckley, but if Collingwood don't make the eight this year, yep, what happens regarding that contract? Because so, it's been five years and we haven't made the finals.
And so
that's the first question
got,
I would ask.
He's got two more years, doesn't he? So you want to know, if they don't make the eight again this year, does his contract change?
That's correct. I'm sure a lot of other fans would be on the same boat as me.
Shane, you are in the running. I reckon we've got another one of your neighbours from Greenvale. Matt also wants to talk Collingwood. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Sam. How are you going?
Good, mate.
The question I would ask, after drafting midfielder after midfielder after midfielder, obviously giving up two first-round picks for Chalor, not really throwing a head in the Josh Shackey basket. Please, how many eggs have we thrown in the Tom Lynch basket? We want to know.
Yep.
Please tell us we're up to our eyeballs in Tom Lynch. Otherwise, what is our plan for a key position moving forward?
Matt, it's one of the great questions, and you are at the top of the list as far as prizes go. Hang on the line, or if not, we'll call you back. Appreciate your contribution. Rob is in North Ringwood. Hello, Rob. You want to talk Saints?
Yeah, look, I just want to know, if Alan Richardson, we haven't made the finals for 5 years, sounds good, but it's just not working. Why has he still got a job?
So, well, I want to go back to that. Rob, you're a St Kilda fan or a member or both?
Yep, fan, yep.
So, this is a really interesting one for me, because there's been steady, I think, movement up the chain in as far as how they play and how they've recruited and built their list, the Saints. But you are questioning at the moment, as a St Kilda fan, whether Alan Richardson is the right man?
Well, I mean, it sounds good, but we always seem to look good a little bit, and then it always falls over. We just doesn't seem to be, how do you know it's going to be any better this year?
Okay, Rob, appreciate it. Tony's in Langwarrin. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Sam. How are you going?
I'm well, mate. You want to talk about North Melbourne?
Yeah, I guess just going back to your previous comment around our history in recruiting free agents, I probably just have to say we've probably got a good history in terms of the Del Santos and the Higgins.
The Sean Higgins, yep. No, fair enough.
So the question would probably be more, what's North's long-term strategy, given that we talk about going youth and draft picks, but then at the same time, float the cash around and saying that we want to get the big name players? How about looking at our own backyard in the Ben Browns and so on, and say, well, what's our long-term strategy? Like, is it the youth and the draft picks in the shorter term, and then going the big names? And at the moment, look after the ones we've got, the stars or future stars that we've already got. So that would be my question. What's our long-term strategy? Is it to go big names, or is it just that, and then when we fail, we go to youth?
Tony, it's a great question. Let's go to another Tony in Geelong. What's to talk about the Cats? Hello, Tony.
Sam, my question would be,
yep.
Now you've inherited a Ferrari, and at the moment you've topped up the midfield with 50 horsepower and you're throwing Ablett in there, but you've done nothing about the brakes in the back line. So if we don't make the grand final this year, are you going to do us all a favour and bugger off?
Oh, well, now hang on, Tony. Now we need to revisit this. Now, Chris Scott won a premiership in his first year. I know a lot of you did say he was handed a Ferrari. You're not happy with the development that's happened under Chris Scott since then?
Not at all. Not at all. Okay. And I'll tell you now, I got a few mates. We could have been drinking cans all through that season and won a flag, because Scarlett ran the back line, Ling ran the midfield, Mooney ran the forward line. What an art.
Okay.
And when we get beat the last couple of years, we don't just get smacked. Collingwood get all of us, Sydney get all of us, Adelaide got all of us last year, Richmond got all of us in the final. So when we lose, we don't just lose, we get pumped.
Gee, are there other Geelong fans out there that agree with Tony? To me, as an external person and not a Geelong fan, sounds harsh, but if there are other people that agree with Tony, I'd love to hear from them. Tony, you're in the running for the prize, there's no doubt about it. Chris is in Endeavour Hills, rather. Hello, Chris, you want to talk about the Bombers?
Yeah, I just had a question about the Stringer. Why have we gone after Stringer and given up a couple of second rounders when we could have gone out and got, say, Jack Watts for a lot less and even brought back Cramery, who are both deemed to be, well, they're both decent players and they're both meant to be pretty good clubmen as well.
Yeah, as I said to you, Chris, off the top of the show, my biggest question about Essendon is the midfield depth. Particularly, you've lost Watson and, who's the other one, Stanton, and you haven't really recruited another mid, have you?
No, but I think, look, realistically, being a Dons fan, 2019 is probably more the year, so. And from what they talk about, there's still a bit left to have a crack with. So, shore up the forward line, get another year into James Stewart, who's only 21 or so what he is, and 200 centimetres, have a pretty young forward line, a pretty young back line, and a pretty young midfield, adding a bit of extra over the next year or so. I don't think this year's our year. But then when you listen to the Geelong supporter before, I don't think some people are happy regardless of what they get.
All right, Chris, appreciate your contribution. Off the text as well, 0433981116. Greg says, Gold Coast, do you honestly believe your club is marketable and able to survive long term? That's a reasonable question. And this one coming in anonymous, I would ask, at Collingwood run by media genius Eddie Maguire, wheel out Treloar, who speaks absolute drivel, says a lot and tells us nothing. Come on, Eddie, get him some media training. That's a little bit harsh, I reckon. George is in Northcote. Hello, George.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. Look, you touched on before, as a Saints supporter,
yep.
The blueprint was by 2020 to win a flag, and in that planning was that in 16-17, which is last year, we missed out on getting any big fish. And it's make or break in getting big fish this year. Either get Sloan, make him captain to fix that other leadership issue we might have at the club, and get Gaff, and then be on track. But that would be the main. And then what? You know, look, what are the Saints are prepared to give up in order to get to make it happen?
Yeah, Rory Sloan and/or Andrew Gaff would be fantastic at the St Kilda Footy Club. Need to go to a break. Still a lot of calls, but before the break, Ross is in East Malvern. Hello, Ross.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm well, mate.
Collingwood fan. We had a succession plan. We went from Mick to Bucks. Is there a succession plan for Eddie Maguire?
As president?
Yes, as president.
What don't you like, Ross? I just want to go back to him for a second. What don't you like is Eddie Maguire as a president? Because I know he's wearing thin on a few people, but he has done an unbelievable amount for that club.
He has, but if you have a look at any organisation, it's not often that someone is at the top of the tree for. Now, this will be Edie's, I think, 21st season in charge. So, you know, is there a succession plan in place for potentially someone else that's on the board or not on the board at the moment to step up and become president? I think if his term runs out at the end of 2019 or 2020.
Yep. Gee, wouldn't that be a good question? Or certainly make for for good viewing, if you heard that question being read out at the Collingwood AGM, is there a succession plan for Eddie Maguire? 9429 1116, you've got one question to ask at your club's AGM. What is it? Joe, Andrew, Steve, Cookie, there's plenty of other calls lining up. Hang on the line, I promise we will get to you. And don't worry everyone, we've written down your names and where you've come from, so you are all in the running for the prizes that we've got here tonight. This is Time On, thanks to Master Builders Training Victoria. Short courses now available, visit mbavtraining.com.au, RTO 3935, and of course the Holden Colorado LTZ, big on performance, big on technology and big on safety. Fresh news that has come through, Gary Ablett has spoken publicly for the first time on his hamstring strain. The audio is courtesy of Fox Sports News.
Yeah, hamstring's fine. Had a little incident at training, but I mean, you say that all the time in pre-season. You know, we're training pretty hard at the moment. We had three solid sessions in the space of a week, and yeah, it was put up a little bit tight in the hammy, but it's fine. It's we've had a scan. It was only very low grade. You know, so I'll just be putting in the work now to get it right. Still a chance for JLT too. I want to try and get a run in before round one, but we'll just take it day to day and just see how it's feeling. Now, I've had little niggling injuries like this through my whole career, but as I've got older, they've seem to be talked about a lot more. You know, and as I said, that's all part of pre-season. You know, we're training ourselves pretty hard. We're taking our bodies to the edge to obviously try and get our legs conditioned. And you know, I'm not concerned at all. I feel like I've had a good pre-season, and I'm just looking forward to getting into games. You know, there's still another 3 weeks of training before that. We've still got some pretty solid sessions to come. So my focus is just getting those sessions into the legs, potentially having a game, as I said, in the second JLT game. But if not, we'll get ready for round one.
That is Gary Ablett there. Not concerned, says G. Ablett, about his hamstring. We are talking AGMs. You get one chance to ask one question at your club's AGM. It is off the back of Collingwood's, which is tonight. By the way, hearing that they have just announced at the Collingwood AGM that Dane Swan has been made a life member of the club, and so he should. Your call's in 1 second. I'm just going to read out a couple of texts. Your questions for the AGM. We've got one from Frio. Hi, Sam. I want to ask the Frio board if they have actually watched a game. Are they happy that the coach has the same boring game plan, which doesn't even win games, but is fast making them an irrelevance? Strong from Ray. One here saying, hi, Sam, I'd like to ask the Richmond board if they've recruited a cabinet maker to make the space to put the 2018 Cup. Fair enough. Darren has a more serious question about the Tigers. He said, are the Tigers going to make a move for Tom Lynch? One from Chris on the Pies. Everyone knows that Craig Kelly is the succession plan to Collingwood. Cheers, Chris in Elwood. Let's get to your calls on 9429 1116. Joe is in Mill Park. Hello, Joe.
G'day. Hello, Sam. Great show, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Mate, my question is, a passion Collingwood supporter, I would like to know, what have they done to improve Collingwood's kicking? Because that is the biggest problem at the club.
Do you think that's what Adam Treloar was talking about, their execution today, Joe? Because if it's a bigger problem as you and some other people think, then it's not going to be turned around in one pre-season, is it?
Well, it's been going on for a number of pre-seasons, but you would think that would have actually improved by now. But it's, what's funny is they get players who can kick to the club, but as soon as they come to Collingwood, they can't kick any longer. So I don't know what sort of they've got in place to actually train their players how to kick a footy.
What are you doing to improve the kicking at Collingwood, says Joe. Andrew's in Beaumaris. Hello, Andrew.
G'day, Sam. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Are you a Saints man?
I am. I just want to know, are they going to buy Rory Sloane a house in Hampton or Brighton?
What chance is Rory Sloane playing in Saints, in a Saints Guernsey next year, Andrew?
We would love it. Absolutely love
it. I bet. I bet you would. Steve's in Yarraville. Thanks, Andrew. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Sam. How are you going?
I'm good, mate.
Good, mate. Yeah, I would probably ask, what are we doing about for Carlton? What are we doing about attracting star power? Notably, you know, in the off season, we had a crack at some, you know, Devin Smith and those boys, but yep, they chose to go elsewhere. What are we actually doing to try and get some high powered players across?
It's a fair question, Steve. While they're at the bottom of the ladder, it is always harder. But you're right. What are they doing? Cookie is in Epping. Cookie, we might make you the last.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. Yeah, look, mine's just following on from the Geelong supporter before. I'm a Geelong supporter. I've got a couple of points on the coach. We, as Geelong supporters, we're a bloody lucky bunch, and nobody sees that. We've got the best winning margin over the last 10 years of any club. I mean, I'd hate to be St Kilda and play teams like that. I mean, I go to the footy, come home, you know, better feeling after a game than most. What it does remind me of, though, is Melbourne Victory went with Ernie Merrick early days, and Ernie Merrick could win anything and everything except he couldn't win in Asia, and it cost him his job. Mm. And guess what? Melbourne Victory still have not won in Asia. So, you know, look, at the end of the day, you've got to keep recruiting, you've got to keep tweaking it. We still play an exciting brand of football. You know, look, guarding. Look, I don't know whether I like Chris Scott or don't like Chris Scott, but yeah, the players seem to like him. As a club, we're doing all right. We're doing all right. So I don't know why they keep complaining, but realistically, it is time to go again, though.
Cookie, I love your positivity. Yeah, we all get flag hungry. Cookie, would you like a $50 voucher to the Ranfurly Range, or would you like a double pass to the Melbourne Beer Fest this weekend?
Double pass to the Beer Fest would be fantastic.
Well, it is yours, Cookie. This Saturday at Kitani Gardens in St Kilda, sample from over 300 craft beers, ciders and spirits, food and live music. Appreciate everyone's contribution. We're going to have to move on. We are running short of time. Matt from Greenvale, you're one of the earlier callers. You can have the $50 voucher for the Ranfurly Range. It is a whole new ball game, open 7 days. It is 34 minutes past six. Well, one of the other big stories in sport today, of course, was that in horse racing, the Mark Cavanagh and Danny O'Brien cobalt situation has finally come to a close. Can you believe it has taken this long? The trainers fined a total of $12,000 by VCAT. We head to Matt Stewart from racing.com, one of the great racing experts in this country. Matt, welcome to Time On.
G'day, Sam. How are you?
I'm well. Matt, give us an insight from your perspective as to, I guess, you know, the long and short of this story. It was on everyone's lips, wasn't it, when it was broken, however long ago it was. It sort of fizzled out to a point, and now it's come to a conclusion.
This is the final chapter of a three-and-a-half-year saga that, it began with the positive tests to cobalt, and then there were the charges, and then there was the initial guilty of knowing administration penalty. This is going so way back now, it almost seems like it's a dated story, doesn't it?
Because
so much has happened in racing since. But they were charged with knowing administration and found guilty and given years, 5 and 4 from memory. So career-crushing penalties. They appealed to VCAT, got it reduced to... There's a massive difference between administration and presentation, penalty-wise. So they got that reduced to I'm confused with the... so there's administration, which is the bad one, and presentation, which is the not-so-bad one. It's been so long, I've forgotten all the terminology.
No, I understand.
So they got it reduced to presentation, and then Racing Victoria appealed that because they thought that was too soft, and then it ended up back at VCAT for penalty because they got found guilty of the lower charge of presentation, and today is the penalty for presentation. So sorry about that, forgetting the terminology. I'm so caught up in the Smurden case that I've forgotten the lingo of the cobalt case.
No, Matt, that's fine. I'm going to ask you about the Robin Smurden case in a moment. But where to now for Mark Cavanagh and Danny O'Brien now that the VCAT part of it is over? What do you think will happen now, Matt?
Well, they just have to rekindle now. I think Danny O'Brien will find it and is finding it not as difficult as Mark Cavanagh seems to be finding it. Mm. Danny's been training winners, and he seems to have got a sense of rhythm back to his stable, although he said it will never be the same as it was for size, probably half that. And Mark Cavanagh is also trying to resurrect his numbers and his stable and his reputation, and he seems to be finding it a lot more difficult. I saw he had advertised for some yearlings on his Twitter handle today for the Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale coming up, suggesting he's wanting to get back into it, but... it's just a struggle for both of them. And it's been a 3.5-year saga where they were initially found guilty of the ultimate charge and then they had it downgraded but still had to pay a penalty today for the lesser charge. So, you know, 3 years is a hell of a long time to be paying legal fees and have your career on hold and all that sort of stuff. So those guys would feel a little bit vindicated today, but I'm pretty sore and sorry after such a long time of... such an arduous time for their careers.
Arduous is the great word for it, Matt, both for Danny O'Brien and Mark Cavanagh, but also for Racing Victoria. There's been a lot of money spent in the last 3.5 years from both sides of the fence. What about the Aquanita doping scandal, Matt? I mean, this has rocked the horse racing industry in the last week and a half since it first was broken in the Herald Sun. We've got a directions hearing on Thursday. What are we expecting out of that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the second directions hearing is to establish. I think it's just to set the template for the upcoming cases to be heard. So I'm not exactly sure what will be established at the second directions hearing other than a bit more clarity about the cases that will be presented and how that will occur come April 30. And this case has just blown everything else out of the water. I mean, the Cobalt Vlahos is coming up in the Supreme Court soon. It seems to be dated by history as well because this case has sucked in everyone's imagination by the breadth and scale and names involved and all that sort of stuff and the flagrancy of the way they allegedly went about it. So so the next step along the line is the directions hearing tomorrow and then it all goes. They're going to have to find Etihad Stadium to host this hearing, this Robert Smoothman co-hearing, because that little room at Racing Victoria was filled to the brim for the Cobalt. And I think this is sort of captured far more outside racing imaginations. This is going to be a real saga. And, you know, with the revelations of the text messages in the mainstream media this week, and they were just jolting. I think everyone had an insight into what they may contain. But when you see them...
Not like that.
In a graphic form, you know, in the actual conversations as they were pitched at the time, just amazing stuff. And it's just, this will unfold, you know, in a lot more detail when the actual, you know, the actual participants are there in person. So, the Kavanaugh-O'Brien thing, it's almost like small print now, and the gigantic headline in coming weeks is going to be all about this amazing story of this alleged doping, systematic doping system of this large organisation and these trainers.
Yeah, it's a much...
Well, not necessarily the organisation itself, but the trainers within it.
It's a much bigger story, Matt. There's no doubt, but let's hope it doesn't take as long as the 3.5 years, because I'm not sure anyone wants that. Matt, appreciate your time. We'll speak soon.
Good on you, Sam.
Matt Stewart from racing.com. This is Time On. Thanks to Master Builders Training Victoria. You can get the short courses, which are now available. Visit mbivtraining.com.au. And, of course, the new Holden Colorado LTZ. Big on performance, big on technology, and big on safety. It's going to be a lovely night on Friday night as well. And arguably one of the biggest weeks this season for Melbourne Victory. They come up against their arch rivals, Melbourne City, in what is the Melbourne Derby. And Melbourne Victory's vice-captain, Lee Broxham's been good enough to jump on the line. Hello, Lee.
Mate, how are we?
I'm well. Does it feel like that to you, the biggest week of the season, or are we overplaying it?
It's very important. Obviously, there's not too many games left, and, it starts to really shape the ladder now. So, probably from the derbies that we've played them, it's the most important in terms of points that we need and in terms of time of the year and for us to move up the table as well. So, yeah, it's definitely important.
Do you get a little bit of extra pleasure out of beating them, or is 3 points 3 points?
In my opinion, it's always that little bit nicer. Yeah, a little bit extra because it is a derby. You know what it means to the club and to your fans, so and you always have that little bit of you don't want them to win each week just because they're your rival. So when you're playing them yourself, it is that little bit extra.
And what about the importance of the victory on the weekend against Adelaide, Lee? Do you feel like you're starting to hit your straps at a really important time of the year?
Well, I mean, I hope so. I mean, we've said it a few times throughout the year where we've strung two or three wins together, and then we lost a couple after that. You know, so it is an important time to be playing well, and hopefully if we can keep playing well and keep scoring goals, keep keeping clean sheets, then it is a good time of the year, and hopefully the results will look after himself with good performances.
We're speaking to Melbourne Victory vice-captain Sam McClure with Lee Broxham on Time On at 12 minutes to 7 on this Tuesday night. Hey, Lee, Reece Williams, I was interested on the weekend, was on the end of some pretty strong criticism, one of which was Mark Bosnich essentially suggesting that there was simulation from Reece. What did you make of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's VAR is involved with red cards now as well, so they had a chance to look at it, and if they see it's warranted and they've upheld a one-match suspension, then I actually genuinely didn't see the incident. I've seen it from a distance on the footage. It does go down rather funnily, but if someone's raised their hands and you've got enough video and enough referees to see that and warrant it, then you've got to go with that. So it's a part of the game. I'm sure Reece has been on the end of someone overdoing something, so I'm pretty sure it'll all come out in the wash.
Well, I was just about to say, Lee, it wouldn't be, if he was, it wouldn't be the first person that's done it, and the VAR sort of adds that extra element, which means no one gets away with anything, so we should probably leave it up to those authorities. Hey, Lee, before I let you go, what about the captain, Carl Valeri? Do you suspect him to return? I'm not sure if the club actually said why he didn't play, but it is a pretty tough time of the season given the fixturing.
Yeah, I mean, we flew back, landed late Thursday afternoon from Shanghai. Shanghai was a taxing game, and you know, then we get a night's rest, and you're in, and you know, we trained lightly on Friday, and then you're playing Saturday. So you know, the travel, you travelled through the night, and it's a 20-hour travel. So you know, it's not to be underestimated, and you know, it's just Kevin, and he made a decision to look after Carl, and you know, something Carl totally understood and anticipated it might happen. So yeah, he's obviously been freshened up with a weekend, and he wasn't needed on the weekend. We didn't have to risk him either, and yep. Yeah, so he'll be ready to go.
Okay, well, if that is the case, it'll be great to see him back. It'll be great to see you out there, and let's hope for all Victory fans you get the victory on Friday night.
Sounds good.
Appreciate your time. Lee Broxham there, Melbourne Victory vice-captain. That game at Amy Park. You can catch the Melbourne Derby, by the way, on Friday night. And our sister station, Classic Rock 1377. We are all across live sport in 2018 on beyond and beyond. No doubt about it on 1116 SEN. Speaking of which, there's some live action at the AFL Tribunal. Robbie Gray contesting his one-match ban. Megan Huthwaite is at the scene at AFL House. Megan, what has happened?
Well, Sam, the parties are just providing their summaries and then the tribunal will deliberate on this Robbie Gray challenge. So I don't think that deliberation will take too long and we'll hopefully have a result and we'll know whether Robbie Gray will be free to play for Port Adelaide in round one. But I think we can say Port have put up a pretty strong case tonight. I have been doing some tweeting and one of the more interesting arguments that I've seen put forward at the tribunal was based around a program which tracks player speed, and that program determined that there was 1.28 seconds between the last bounce of the ball and then the ball spilling into McGovern's hands. So Port were quick to say that Robbie Gray had no other opportunity than to brace the contact. So they've gone very hard down that bracing for contact rather than bumping line. Whether it holds up, I don't know. I think the only thing that has probably gone against Robbie Gray was that AFL legal counsel Andrew Woods did ask him whether he made forceful contact with Jeremy McGovern, and Gray answered yes. So that probably hasn't helped his cause, but it's still happening. The lights have gone out in Adelaide. In the tribunal room there, electricity has come back on, but it's been a very entertaining hearing so far.
Yeah, suffice to say, there's been a power outage. What did Gray himself have to actually say, Megan?
Look, he said that it happened so fast and that he was going in to win the footy. That was his intention at all times. He had to make a split-second decision. He had no idea whether Jerry McGovern was upright or leaning forward at the time. Sam, I'm just looking at the moment. Tribunal, the jury has just come out to deliberate, so we'll hopefully have a result very shortly. But yes, he said several times that his intention was always to win the ball.
Well, Megan, we'll let you get back in there. If there is a verdict before 7 o'clock, we'll hear from you then. Otherwise, we'll of course hear from you with Jack Heaven, the Sporting Capital.
You know, that was a bit of a shock to me, and you know, he's on the way up and made a good recovery.
With everything that you went through as a family and I guess everything you've achieved in footy, was there a moment where you thought maybe that was it for you, maybe you wouldn't come back to footy?
Oh, a lot of things were going through my head to sort of, you know, get the phone call he'd had a heart attack and they weren't too sure if he was going to make it. You know, a lot of things were going through my head, and yeah, that was one of the things that, you know, if I keep my dad and get rid of all the accolades that I've had, I'd definitely do that.
Cirioli there, kicking off Red Time headlines. Speaking today, revealing he contemplated his playing future as he spent time with his father over the off-season, who, as you heard from Cyril there, suffered a heart attack. Other Red Time headlines, Daniel Ricciardo has posted the fastest time in Formula One testing at Silverstone. He spoke after the session. The Sydney Kings have confirmed Andrew Gaze will continue as coach next season. NBL luminaries are gathering as we speak for tonight's MVP awards. And the Bush Rangers in cricket earlier today defeated WA by 255 runs in the Sheffield Shield. They required just 2 wickets for victory. Got the job done with 30 minutes to play. I'll leave you with this text on Robbie Gray. Still no verdict, but we'll hear Megan Huthwaite with Jack Heverin, no doubt. I can't see Robbie Gray's defence working. A batsman has about half a second to decide what shot to play against a fast bowler, so anything greater than that won't pass as a defence. I couldn't agree more.